I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. It is a good life living for the Lord. Thank you for joining me once again for It is a Good Life. And today we are going to continue our study in the book of Romans, and we're going to pick up with chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Let me remind you to look at our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to listen to this program once again. You can also download a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. It's absolutely free of charge. And if you'd like to write to me, I'll be glad to send to you a free transcript, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Write to me today or look at our website. Well, today we pick up our study in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And these verses say this, "And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law." Now, Paul's speaking to the Jewish people here. He's speaking to the Jews. And he's saying you've become comfortable. And notice the word confident in verse 19. Confident means convinced or persuaded. These people, these Jewish people, were convinced that their perspective was correct. If their hearts had been right with the Lord, then they would have been faithful witnesses to the Lord. Now, Paul's setting them up here for the big blow. He will bring them very low at this point. Notice that these two verses, 19 and 20, paint a picture of the Jew as feeling far superior to others. Confident, the verse says. And notice the words that Paul has been using to describe these people. Resting comfortable, boasting, confident, and so forth. Paul needs to humble these people. He needs to disturb their rest and bring them very low. Now, it's very difficult to break through religious pride. Religious people are trusting in themselves and not Christ. They're far too comfortable. Now notice in verse 20 the word form. This refers to what is outward and external. And if you look at 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Outwardly religious does not make a person right with God. Romans chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 say this, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?" Notice first of all the word taught, being taught. Paul is now ready to knock the props right out from under these religious Jews. First of all, these people had God's law and they heard God's law, but they did not do God's law, according to verse 13, "and thus they will be judged by God's law," verse 12. Instead of being law keepers, they were law breakers. Before we teach others, we need to first teach ourselves. I refer you back to verse 21. And this is especially true when teaching God's Word. Make sure the message first hits home to your heart before you teach it to anyone else. And these Jews failed to practice what they preached. "Your actions speak so loud that I can't hear your words." And what flowed from their life contradicted what flowed from their lips. They taught the commandments, but they did not keep the commandments. Notice next that Jesus told his disciples to follow the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, but not their works. You can look in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3, where it says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Now, what Jesus is saying there, they know the law. They know what is right. They know to do what is right, but they're not doing it. You need to listen to what they say because they know the law. They know the scriptures, and you need to listen to the scriptures, but don't look to them. And when I see these verses, I think that it's teaching us also today that we are not to follow man. We are to follow God. We're not to set our sights on a man or a woman. For, we set people up on pedestals as a human being. But once again, people will let us down. People will hurt us. So therefore, I'm not telling you not to have friends. What I'm telling you is this: you need to trust in the Lord. You need to let God lead you. You need to have godly friends around you. And that means people who are doing what God would have them to do. They're in the Scriptures. Are they doing the Scriptures? Are they doing what God wants them to do in their lives? Don't put your faith and trust in any human being. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. Romans chapter 2 and verse 23 says this: "Thou that makest the boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God." Notice the witnesses here. First, instead of being excellent witnesses for the Lord, they were actually terrible witnesses. And then we see that the Jews dishonored God by breaking God's holy law. And this is explained further in verse 24. It says there, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." They were terrible witnesses for the Lord. It's written, Paul says. It's written. The name of God. The name of God stands for God's person and for His reputation. And by the way, the Jews lived. The way the Jews lived, they dishonored God's name. Don't represent yourself as a safe person and live like the devil. Don't dishonor God that way. You need to get things right with God. If you've never been saved, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. But don't be a hypocrite. Don't let people think that what you're doing is what a child of God is supposed to do if you're doing wrong. Be a child of God. Be a Christian. Be what God wants you to be. First, you have to ask Jesus into your heart. And then, the Bible tells us that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Get into His Word, study His Word, and let God lead you and mold your life as a saved person. But notice what else is written here. In this verse, it was written, Paul says. Paul was, I believe, thinking of, first of all, Isaiah 52 and verse 5. It says, "Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed." It's sad that when things get rough for many Christians, they turn their back on God. But God never turns His back on the Christian, on the person who's saved. Many times we as human beings, as a Christian, we will turn away from God. Not that we've lost our salvation, but we start blaming God. Even as a Christian, we sometimes blame God for things that come into our lives that we don't understand. But God is in control. God knows what's going on. Do not turn on God. He's never turned on you. He wants to lead and guide you. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 25, it says this: "For circumcision, verily, profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." Notice the word profit. Profit. Circumcision. The Jews rested comfortably in the fact that they were circumcised. And secondly, we see the Jews highly valued circumcision as stated in their Old Testament rabbinical writings. It says there that no circumcised man will be lost. Well, that's a lie. That's not true, is it? Just because a person has something done to them does not make them fit for heaven. Number three, remember, in reality, circumcision was merely an outward ritual. It was meant to be an outward sign or seal of an inward reality. And although we have not studied Romans chapter 4 yet, we need to read verse 11 here. Verse 11 of Romans 4 says this, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." Now in the days of Paul, there was a saying that Abraham stood at the gates of Hades to make sure that no circumcised man was ever cast into hell. And the outward ritual profits a person only if it is accompanied by the inner reality, according to the Word of God. The outward rite is worthless, of no benefit or advantage apart from the inward reality and realty. Apart from this, it is just ritual with no reality, a symbol with no substance. It's like baptism. It's an outward sign of an inward possession. We possess Jesus Christ, and He possesses us because we've trusted Him as our Savior. Romans chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 say this, "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law?" Notice the word nature. Uncircumcision, first of all, this refers to the Gentiles, heathen in the Jew sight, those who do not have the outward ritual of circumcision. And we see that if the Gentile has the inward reality of circumcision, then he has the one thing that really counts, and that is Jesus Christ as Savior. Notice chapter 2 and verse 28 and 29 now of Romans 2. "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." We're going to pick up here next time with verses 28 and 29. Study this chapter, if you would. Read the remaining verses of this chapter, and then we'll start in these verses that I've mentioned, verse 28 and 29, next time in Romans chapter 2. In the meantime, look at our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. Or you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. I'll be glad to send you, free of charge, a written transcript of this program. My heart's desire for you is that you know Jesus as your Savior. Ask Him into your heart today if you haven't done so. And if you have asked Him into your heart, live for Him. Let Him lead and guide you. Be a witness for Him. Lead others to our Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.